of the purposes, some of the beginning of their names, so changing from not my people to my people, not compassion or love to love and to compassion. And as we started to get in this, we started to see a picture there, the plead, verse 2, we looked at that last week, the plead with your mother. And then we even talked about, he said, you know, the different things he said in that verse about not being her husband and all the things. We talked about that last week. Now we're picking up in verse number 3. Verse number 3, I want us to keep in mind everything we talked up to this point, especially a lot what we talked about last week. Then I want us to look at verse number 3. Now, there's a picture painted here as we look at this, and I think it's very relevant to us today. Again, when we first started Hosea and we gave the introduction, we said a lot of people think the book Hosea is not relevant. It's very relevant. There's a lot of hope and help for us in our lives, and it's also a picture and also lets us examine ourselves and see where we're at. Look at verse number 3. Lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. Verse 4, and I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. Heavenly Father, we love you. We ask as we look at your word in this book, Lord, you to show us what you have for us. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. We must be reminded tonight as we get into these verses that our sinful life has consequences. And the Lord paints a very clear picture in the book of Hosea what happens when a person sins but there's no repentance of that sin. Now we do know, as we've looked at before, if a person sins and repents, what happens? You have God's forgiveness. God forgives and God can restore. We talked about restoration a couple weeks ago. God can restore. There's that restoration that comes when there's repentance. What happens when your child does wrong, but they refuse to say they did wrong? And they're stubborn about it. And they won't give in and they will never say, we're wrong and we did wrong. What happens? You still love them, but what happens? The relationship strain. And you don't have that relationship you had. Now, what happens when your kid does wrong, but admits they've done wrong, and they're sorry that they've done wrong, and they've showed signs of the sorrowfulness, and what they've done is wrong? What happens? You don't. I don't know about that. Zero times two is still what? All right. You restore the relationship. And that's the picture. When we repent, that relationship gets restored. But when we continue to rebel and continue not to turn and continue not to give in, then that relationship isn't restored. And there's consequences if we don't heed. If God's people did not change, they'd be stripped naked. She would be made as she was at birth, a naked, helpless baby. What a picture. It's talking about Israel. It's also talking about, we're going to talk a little bit with Gomer and how it relates here in just a minute. But it's talking about Israel. What picture is it painting? All right, she's going to go back to birth, naked as a baby. Go back to birth. What is this talking about? Okay, in one hand, totally dependent upon someone else. What did Israel face when they were in the wilderness? Barren land, right? What? Yeah, destitution, the barren land. She'd be like that parched and desolate land unless she returns to him. Being back, there's a hand back there. Okay? Yeah, good for nothing. We're going to get into that dry land in just a second. And then, but going back to a baby, what's the picture of a baby? Helpless. When a baby is born, they're precious, right? Even though, did you know most babies are pretty ugly? I mean, just be honest.
Except for yours.
No, when they're first born, most of them, especially through natural childbirth, most of them are pretty ugly because their head is kind of weird and everything about them. But to mom and dad, they're precious, right? It doesn't matter. How many ever met a parent, maybe you have, that thought their kid was ugly? Not too many. Not too many. Most, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, right? You know, most of you that are married or have, you always think your wife or your husband's the best looking person in the world. I mean, I'm not going to give any examples, Rex, but they think those things. Wait, the picture is this. That going back to the baby here, what is it saying in regards to the baby? Baby is dependent, right? Baby can't do a lot on their own. A baby needs support. A baby needs help. So how's that a picture? This phone is going possessed. What is the picture in regards to Israel to this, to a baby? It's helpless and hopeless. Why? Because they don't have God. We even looked before, they were going after the false gods. This is why this warning's coming. This is the last warning before they go into captivity. And God's given them another opportunity through Hosea to show them their need to return and go back. Yet, they're not doing it. And when Israel does not repent, Israel does not come back, they're helpless and hopeless as a naked baby. As one that can't take care of himself. How many babies, when they're first born, can feed themselves? I don't think there's any. How many can lift even their head up by themselves right away? No. What do you have to do with the baby? You have to be very careful. You have to hold that baby. You have to hold that head. Because the baby is what? Weak. And you got to be careful because the slightest movement of not natural stuff could hinder and hurt the baby. The picture is this: Israel's very weak. What's a picture for your life and my life? When we rebel against God and don't repent, we're weak. How does that play a role in Israel being weak? And how does that play a role in our lives being weak? Why would it matter? Yeah, when Israel's weak, they were overcome by their enemies and they were conquered by them. Why? Because they're weak. When you and I are weak, when you and I have not repented and dealt with the sin in our lives, what happens? We're overcome by who? Satan. Who is getting the victory in our lives? Satan's getting the victory. Why? Because we're weak. The only way we can stand against the wiles of the devil is to be right with God and have the Spirit of God upon us and the whole armor of God in Ephesians upon us. And that's the only way we can stand against it. But when we are in rebelling against God and we haven't repented, we're walking out with no armor, no protection. And what happens? You get attacked. Now, how many of you ever played paintball before? Now, paintball's fun. It is a joy. I did that back in high school. Now, that sounds like a long time ago now. I was telling someone earlier, it's bad when I see people that are 30 years old and I think they're like 10. You know you're getting old. And I'm not that much older than them, but they all look young and I'm looking old. But paintball is fun. But what do you do when you do that or Nerf guns or those type of things? What do you do? Do you usually, unless you're trying to just be not smart, do you usually just walk out and walk like this casually playing the game like that? No, you hide. You're under protection. You get something to protect you. You're not just going to walk out like, huh, doesn't matter. That's what we do spiritually. What happens is we don't repent, we don't get it right, we just walk out, well, here I am. I'm open target. How does that go, Tina? Thanks for the sound effects. Appreciate it. And so we see this. God's people would become barren and naked. God's people come to a place where they are destitute, have nothing. When we're not right with God, do we have anything? No. Do we have God's blessing? No. Do we have God's protection? No. Do we have God supplying our need? No. Because who's those promises given to? Those that are right with God. And see, many times we look at Israel as God's chosen people. God should have always taken care of them no matter what they did. And so what, they're not living for God. So what, they're not serving God. But when you're not serving God and living for God, God has never promised to take care of you. He's promised never to leave you, but he's never promised protection upon you. He's never promised to supply a need. All those promises are given to those who are living for God. That's who those promises are given to. And that's what happens many times in our life, spiritually speaking. We're barren. We're destitute because we're not living for God. And then we sit back and go, why don't I have God's blessing upon my life? Oh, I don't understand this. I don't understand why I can't do this, and God hasn't blessed me here, and God hasn't given me this, and why everything always seems to work out for this person over me. And maybe it's because you're barren. Maybe it's because there's something in your life. And God does not bless when we're in rebellion. Now, let me ask you this. How does this refer to Gomer? We saw a little bit to ourselves. We saw a little bit to the nation of Israel. But how does this relate to Gomer? Anyone? Anyone have a thought? There's a couple of thoughts out there. Is it telling Gomer, one thought is, she'll never be able to have children again. Now, in that custom, in that day, that was a big thing, was it not? If you didn't have kids, that was a big thing. That's one thought out there. And is there anyone else, another thought? Is there any other picture given? And no, it's not on your sheet. I just have the question on your sheet. So I wanted you to think and not just give you the answer. Okay, that's the other thought. One is she'd never have kids again. Number two is she thought she had everything, yet she's going to have nothing. And what a picture. What a picture. It could be the first one. It could be the second. It could be a combination of the two. But I get this picture of she thought she had everything. She had her fun. She had her kids. She had what she thought she needed. But all that stuff is going to go away because that stuff didn't really matter. Yeah, she'd die of thirst, and we're going to get in that. But yeah, she would die of nothing, having no thirst. But the picture of this, the whole picture, so we get in this, and we're going to talk about that in just a second, is she's going to come to a place she has nothing. How many people in our world today think they have everything? I mean, you look at in the world. You look at what they think is success. You look at what they think what matters in life. Yet, what's going to happen one day? All that stuff is going to corrupt. All that stuff's going to wither away. All that stuff's not going to matter anything. Where are we supposed to be building up treasures? In heaven. And where our heart is what? That's where our treasures is. What we treasure is where our heart is. That's where it is. But what's going to happen with all this stuff? What happens to believers today? That think, I don't really need to walk with God. I don't need to live for God. I can enjoy all the things of this world and still be saved. What's going to happen? You're building up treasures where? Here. Bible says, set our affections on things of what? Above, not on things below. We're to set our affections, our love, our treasures on God. That's where it ought to be. Now look at the last part of this verse. I tie it all together here. And set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. So, Lisa, go ahead and say what you said a little earlier. What does that mean? And slay her with thirst. She's not going to be satisfied. She's not going to be satisfied. She's going to die of thirst. She's going to be in the dry land and still needing something. How many, what a picture. You have so much, yet you have nothing. What is the only thing that can satisfy? God can satisfy. How many ever been in a desert situation? Brother Dick has in his many travels into the mountains and having just his loaf of bread and peanut butter and not enough water to take care of anything. And the heat is beating and you're dying of thirst. The sweat's pouring down and you just want water. Anyone been in that situation? That you're thirsty, you need something. And then there's not much around and there's this little bit of water and you take it, but it's not enough to satisfy. Now, how many of you are not smart, and instead of drinking water, you want to drink something sugary? Because you're really thirsty, and you think that's going to quench. How many have drinking a sugary soda or a lemonade or something that's real sugary? Does that really quench the thirst? What does it want you to do? You want more. And you want more and more and more because it's not quenching. Actually, the sugar is helping you, what? Dehydrate. It's not actually helping hydrate you. It's actually dehydrating you. What a picture. We think we need this world and we want more of this world, but the world's not satisfying. And the more world we get, the less satisfied we are. Because it's actually dehydrating us. It's actually not helping us. It's hindering us in our life. And that's the picture. She thinks she has it all. She's going to lose it all. But she wants more. Because she's thirsty and it's not enough to satisfy. Why do you think many people turn to so many things in this world today? Because what are they searching for? Fulfillment. They're searching for something that's going to give them some type of satisfaction or fulfillment in their lives. But it never turns out that way. But not just this world. Let me ask you about believers today. How many believers know the truth, know how we have peace in our life, know how we can have joy in our lives, know how we can have that, but we still aren't satisfied? Now, we're satisfied in the sense of salvation because we know Jesus. I'm not saying that. But daily life, how many believers are not satisfied with their life? And they keep thinking bigger houses, more cars, more money, more this, more that. I'm not talking this unsaved. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about believers. The more entertainment, the more this, that's going to bring them joy in their lives. Do you know some of the most joyful people in this world have nothing? And some of the unhappy people in the world, the people that are most miserable in this world, I'm talking about believers, not unsaved, have a lot of things, but they're still not satisfied. How many of you have ever been told this? The more money you make, the more money you want. And you always think, how many remember, now some of you are younger, but how many some of you remember when you first got a job and you thought making the $2 an hour was a big deal? And then you thought, man, if I could just make $5 an hour. Then if I could just make $10 an hour. And if I could just make $15 an hour. And some of you are like, if I could make 20. If I could make 25. If I could make 30. But what happens is, you're in a higher tax bracket and the government takes it all. But you start to wish you made more. You always want more. How many remember you were so excited about that first car you got? Even though it was not probably the best car. Now, some of you had a decent car, your first car. But most didn't have the best car in the world. And you thought, well, if I could just get a little better car. And a little better. But it was never good enough. And people keep wanting more and more and more. Because they're not satisfied. Because materialistic things do not satisfy anybody. Unsaved or believer. it doesn't satisfy. And when we are in rebellion against God, we will never be satisfied. Why? If we're in rebellion with God, why won't we ever be satisfied? Why would we be as dry land, as a soul thirsting, as one not enough? Why would we not be satisfied if we're in rebellion with God? Okay, God won't give us peace and comfort. We're looking for the wrong thing. Because our faith is not where it ought to be, and we're misguided. And when we are not living for God, we are trusting something besides God. That becomes our idol. Now, many times we've talked about idols, but get this. When I'm not living for God, when I have unconfessed sin in my life, whatever it is, that has now become my God. And my God can't satisfy. Whatever that God is, whatever that sin is, whatever you have put before God. You said, well, I didn't put it before God. Yes, you did. When you chose not to repent of it, when you chose not to get it right, when you chose not to do business with God, you have put that idol, that God, before the true God, and that's the God you're trusting now. That's the God that's more important to you now. And because that God's there, you're never going to be satisfied. You're always going to be thirsting. You're always going to be longing. You're always going to be wanting more because that has become your God. When the true God gets his rightful place in your life, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When he gets that rightful place back in your life, then what happens? You become satisfied. You have joy. You have peace. You have all the fruits of the Spirit coming right back in. Because God's the one that gives you those fruits back in your life. How many of us are in this place? You don't have to admit it, but I want you to think. Or how many of us been in this place before? That we're barren, we're thirsty. One of the crucial things I believe in our lives is we have to keep a short account with God. And we have to examine our lives on a regular basis. Because if you're like anything like me, we sin at least once a month. Yeah. We sin at least once a day probably, if not more. And we got to keep that short account. Because we don't want to become dry. We don't want to become barren. We don't want to become as a naked baby. We don't want to become thirsting with nothing satisfy. If I'm truly saved by the blood of the Lamb, and I truly have a desire to live for God, I want to have that sweet, wonderful, intimate relationship with Him. And I can't have that if something else has my affections or my attention. Israel was going to miss out, and Israel is going to go through struggles and consequences because Israel didn't want to repent. Gomer, as the picture, was going to go through consequences. It's going to have issues because she wasn't willing to repent. You and I are going to have consequences. We're going to go through the dry land and the thirsting and all that if we don't repent. Anybody, we won't get into verse 5 tonight. You guys took too long of verse 3, verse 4. We didn't really get into verse 4, really. We're actually verse 3. Tina, one verse again, Tina. You did that to me. With your sound effects, that was a thing. Anyone have anything you'd like to add or say? And then next week we'll get in verse 4 real quick and then verse 5. I tell you, and there's a lot Hosea, there's a lot in Hosea. Let me challenge you. Read through the book Hosea. At least read through chapter 2 for next week. Start reading this. There's a lot there, and we're not even getting as deep as we could. This is just giving you some surface stuff. So a lot of good stuff here. Anyone else, any other thought? Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. Good thought. Anyone else? All right, go ahead, take out prayer bulletins.